This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So have you ever read a zine? Or made one? Define zine for us.
Magazine is the perfect kind of entry because zine comes from magazine.
This is Megan Kirby. She's a writer, storyteller, and visual artist.
Zines are usually independently produced, independently distributed magazines. They go back all the way to the 70s and before. It seems like as long as humans have been publishing, they've been wanting to do this kind of side projects and passion projects, and that's where zines kind of fall in.
Megan is from a little city west of Chicago. So you are from Aurora, Illinois. Tell me about growing up in the home of, what did you say?
Yeah, home of Wayne's World.
Yeah, that's right.
We either get Wayne's World or there's an outlet mall. I liked growing up in Aurora. It's a big suburb, and we were at the end of the BNSF train line. So as soon as I was old enough, I was taking the train downtown to Chicago as much as I could.
When she was in college at Elmhurst, out in the suburbs, Megan also became a zine enthusiast.
During college, when I was 19, I started making zines. And Chicago is the hub of the country right now for making zines.
What is it about zines?
Especially as things turn more and more digital, there's something really magic about holding something in your hands, reading something physical, and also making it yourself. Mm-hmm. Most zine makers are doing the printing and the folding and the stapling themselves. And it makes you feel really close to your work. And it also gives you a freedom to write and draw about whatever you want.
What about the consumption of zines? Like, who is the zine audience?
I think that there's definitely a kind of counterculture approach to zines that you see a lot in people in the community.
Yeah.
But I don't think that necessarily has to be true because there are so many zines out there that anyone in or out of the culture is going to find something really weird and niche that is going to click with what they want.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. So there are all kinds of zines, social justice zines, religious zines. There's even a Chicago Zine Fest, which is coming up in October. And Megan has a unique approach to creating these little indie publications. And her approach is what we're going to talk about today. It's called Meanwhile.
So we started Meanwhile in 2016. So, gosh, that makes it about 8 years old, which is crazy.
Meanwhile is both a zine and an event. It's a combination of storytelling and zine making. Folks from all over the city come to watch a variety show. And while they're sitting there, they also doodle and draw and write. And everything they create ends up filling the pages of a zine, which Megan and her collaborators put together and release later on. Megan's going to explain how all this works and why watching a show while doodling makes perfect sense. But first, she's going to get into how live storytelling got looped into the zine making process at all.
So when I moved to Chicago in my early 20s, there was a huge, thriving storytelling scene that's still going on today. I would go to Sam Irby, one of my favorite writers, had a show called Guts and Glory.
Yes.
And it was so wonderful.
Back when Sam Irby was way accessible, extremely
right.
Accessible.
Those were the days. So happy to see her success,
yes.
But miss being able to go to Powell's Bookstore, RIP,
yes.
And see her perform. So seeing that show and the other shows that were going on around then, I couldn't help but start thinking, oh, maybe I want to go on stage and I want to do some storytelling events too.
Okay. Tell me about that like first few times when you're like, all right, I'm dipping my toe.
Yeah, I think that you're never more nervous than your first time getting on stage. I remember the first essay I ever read was at a show called The Marrow that isn't around anymore, but used to be in Pilsen.
Okay.
And I read an essay about going to see One Direction. I was very into One Direction in my mid-20s, and I wrote a funny essay about it. And I remember standing in my apartment and practicing over and over. And the performance went pretty well. I got some good laughs in the room, which was the goal. And then I was pretty hooked. I wanted to keep doing it.
Oh, it's definitely addictive.
Yeah.
When people actually laugh at your jokes, you're like, oh, am I funny? Okay.
Like, this is all I've ever wanted, a room full of people laughing at me.
Yes, in the best way.
Right. If I'm in control.
Yeah, correct. So let's get into Meanwhile. What is this event?
Yeah. So Meanwhile is a zine making variety show. And the premise is for every show, we pick a theme and we have 4 to 5 performers come and put on pieces to that theme. And that can be anything from reading an essay to a live comic. We've had people come and do dance or theater or just strange performances. And while the performers are on stage, the audience is working on pages for a community zine to that same theme. So the performers are on stage, and meanwhile, the audience is drawing and writing and working on these pages that we collect at the end of every show and publish for the next round.
Okay, so this is a very unique, you know, I've been in my share of storytelling events. Obviously, I work in public radio, so storytelling is just a part of it. But tell me about how this particular spin on a storytelling event came about.
So I'm a huge fan of the artist Linda Barry. She wrote this kind of creativity guide called What It Is that was the direct inspiration for Meanwhile. She writes a lot about how humans have this innate tie to creating images and that we often lose track of that after we don't have to take art classes anymore. When you're not forced to make art, you drift away. But when you put a piece of paper and a pen in front of someone, almost everyone is going to grab it and start doodling. And almost everyone, if you're in a Zoom meeting and you're getting a little bored, you're going to start doodling in your margins. Even if you say you're not an artist, that seems to be kind of baked in.
Huh.
So for Meanwhile, we were trying to figure out how to channel that desire to make art. And also this idea that you can be writing and drawing, and it's not necessarily taking your focus away. You can still be engaged in what's happening on stage or making art about what's happening on stage.
And you do curate the storytellers, like you invite them specifically based on what?
Yeah, for sure. We pick storytellers based on who's going to click with that theme.
Okay.
So some of our past themes have been things like celebrity encounters, your first apartment.
Oh.
We usually just try to pick something nice and broad, but something where you hear the sentence and you say, oh, I ran into a celebrity once. I've got a weird story.
Yeah.
Or even like, oh, this is the celebrity I want to meet. And here's how I imagine that going.
Yeah. I know you have a couple of collaborators with Meanwhile. Tell me about them. How did that come about?
So I started Meanwhile with Catherine Eves, who's one of my co-hosts and co-producers. We went to college together. So we have known each other for a very long time,
okay.
And she is also a wonderful writer and performer. And our other co-producer, co-host right now is DJ Williams, and he actually started being involved with Meanwhile because he's a really good dancer, and we loved his dancing so much that we started having him come and dance to close out every show.
Love it.
So he's just a really wonderful performer. But it's really great to bounce ideas off each other. It's also a lot of work to curate a show and put together a zine and print it for the next show. So just having people to do that kind of physical work with makes it fun instead of a chore.
Okay, so that's the process. Everybody comes together in the room. They make the zine together. You gather all the pages. And then what?
Yeah, then we usually come to my apartment and have a bottle of wine and go through all the pages. We do a yes, no, and maybe pile. And the no pile is almost always just empty because all of the pages are so great.
Okay.
And it always ends up being a little torturous to pick through the pages because we're so excited to see what people have drawn.
What have you loved the most about seeing the art people create at events?
Oh, the art is so cool and weird and funny. And there's just no predicting what people
no
are
predicting.
Going to,
wow. Okay.
to create. So we'll get some pages that are just cramped handwriting from top to bottom telling a story. And I am especially in love with seeing the artwork that people who say, "Oh, I'm not an artist. Oh, I'm no good at drawing." I think there's a special magic when they turn their drawings in, because if they draw a giraffe, you can still tell it's a giraffe, even if it's not a photorealistic drawing. There's something very clear in that, and there's a way we can use images to communicate that comes across, whether you are a professional illustrator or someone who hasn't picked up a colored pencil since high school.
I think people who don't identify as artists think of it as somewhat of a playful and unserious thing, especially people who create visual art. And I mean, I've heard many people describe artists as like unreliable, a little bit all over the place, play too much, you know, whatever. But being an artist can get quite serious at times. You seem like a pretty playful person, but when does creating feel the most intense for you?
I think that creating can feel really intense when you need money, and when you're maybe trying to sell your creative work. That definitely sucks the playfulness out of it a little bit. But I do think that meanwhile is always channeling a very playful energy. And that's not to say that we're not taking it seriously, and we're very strict when it comes to hitting deadlines and confirming performers. But our behind the scenes tagline that we say to each other a lot as we're working on things is, don't be precious about it. Don't be precious about picking the pages, working on a zine page. It's more important for this to be done and for us to have fun than for everything to be 100% polished and perfect. And I think that that kind of don't be precious mantra works for performers too, because we have people who've performed all over the city and have written award-winning books, but we also have performers who've never stepped on stage before, and they find this really welcoming environment. In our early days, we had a really horrible projector to project comics, that was always on the fritz. And it became almost a part of the show when this projector would blink out, or at one point, I think it got too hot and started smoking. It was a real sort of level of disaster. But we actually found that people liked that. And whenever it would happen, the audience would chant, "Tech fail, tech fail, tech fail," until we got it up and running. And we do have a new projector now, I'm happy to report. It's much less of a fire hazard. But that was a nice lesson in audiences like unpredictability, and they like seeing you make some reasonable mistakes, and they're in it with you. If you're putting on a show in general, the audience is rooting for you, so it becomes this kind of partnership, and that's been one of the coolest things about Meanwhile for me.
I mean, the partnership is baked in, right? I mean, the audience is literally participating in the show the entire time, too. So, what have you learned about practicing art by pairing these two mediums together, storytelling and that visual component?
When I first thought of this show, I thought it was going to be a storytelling show and people would come and draw. And it evolved very quickly into something beyond that. That's really how the magic happens, is when you're surprised by something that you started building but kind of grows outside of your own control. There's a magic to that.
You, as I mentioned, are a multimedia creative. You're a writer, zine maker, storyteller. You're making your own way with your friends, and you're all doing art. And I wonder what you would say to somebody listening who's thinking about following in your footsteps.
Yeah, I think it's simple to say, like, just jump in, just do it. I think that also Chicago is a wonderful city for trying things out and being encouraged by the arts, the larger art scene. And if you have an idea, this is a great community to launch it and try it out and figure it out as you go.
Megan Kirby is a writer, visual artist, storyteller, and co-host of Meanwhile Chicago. Megan, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
You can pick up a copy of the latest Meanwhile zine at Chicago Zine Fest. That's going to be on October 5th at Columbia College, Chicago.
And if you're trying to show up to the next Meanwhile event, you can follow at Meanwhile Chicago on Instagram for more information on their next date. And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produced The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Maria Lopez was the engineer for this episode. Thank you also to our former producer, Sarah Stark, for helping with this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you love the show, give us a 5-star rating, write us a review. Big shout out to LZD Pablo, who wrote us a review on Apple Podcasts. They say, The Rundown gives a great Chi breakdown, an excellent and concise breakdown of Chicago news. Thanks so much. If you write a review on Apple Podcasts, I will give you also a personal shout out on the show. I'm Erin Allen. Thanks for listening to The Rundown. I'll talk to you on Friday.